listening to the Flaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
All right. So let's see what.
What's up, folks? What's up, folks? We back, baby.
We are back. Let's see what we got, though. So docket. Okay. I got a list of everything we're going to go through today. We are definitely going to start off with the NFL in the offseason, first and foremost. So before we even introduce anybody, because I really don't, you already know who we are, let's start talking NFL offseason, because that's a big topic right now. Things that have happened that most people thought and most people didn't think, so on and so forth. We want to know who won the offseason. We put a poll up on the Facebook page. By a landslide, the OBJ to Cleveland, the trade from Odell Beckham going to Cleveland, won hugely over the – and I'm thinking as far as impact-wise, when we did the poll, it's who's going to make the bigger impact, who you think's got the biggest pull, who do you think the better move is. You guys voted, and you – said OBJ to Cleveland was the way to go. So, anyways, so big moves that happen. Odell goes to Cleveland, obviously. Now, they trade Odell, and Cleveland gives up a first. Correct me if I'm wrong. A first, a third, and Jabril Peppers, right?
Correct.
So, Cleveland, and we're going to go on the docket. I'm going to list these big things. Who won that? Cleveland wins that entirety of that trade? Cleveland wins that trade, hands down, for just one player, giving up a first, third, and Jabril Peppers. And Jabril Peppers was a high-end prospect, a first-round pick coming out of Michigan. No. Didn't know if he was going to play safety or linebacker because he played everywhere. He was one of those, whatever you want to call it. He was one of those universal players, one of those Swiss Army knives on defense. So,
now, did they switch first-round picks, or did they just acquire their first-round picks, so now they have two?
That's a great question. See, that's the part of us doing our research that we didn't do, I guess.
Exactly. That's where it comes in. I believe they switched picks for part of me believes they switched picks.
Okay. I mean, and that's possible.
If that's the case, I think the Giants win. I think the Giants win either way, even if they were acquired the first pick. Either way, I think they win because – Not because of losing Odell, but they win.
They swap picks. The Giants got the number 17 pick.
They lose.
So wait. So the
they
Giants
lose Landon Collins.
Yep.
Get Jabril Peppers. Uh-huh. What did you say, Nick? Go back to that, Nick.
The Giants got the 17th pick from the Browns.
So, exactly. But the Browns, okay, so, the Brown. Okay, but wait.
Did they?
But the Giants didn't give up their pick, right? No.
Yeah.
The Giants still have the top pick.
Yeah, no way. So
right, Giants still.
So the yeah, they obviously won the first round pick.
The Giants hold 6 and 17, right? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So they definitely win because Odell to them is a guy that the first time they made the playoff run with their core, who they believe their core was, the day before Odell and the boys went on a cruise down in Miami, you know, or on a yacht. They're not sold on Odell, you know. They know he's a ball player, they know he can ball, but they're not sold on him. So that was the easy way out in the first round pick and a up and coming safety, which he had a good year last year. So I mean, losing Landon Collins, you fill that void and keeps fans happy. It feels like a kind of a rebirth, because I'm sure there were some Giants fans that didn't like Odell, that they liked the way he played, but I'm sure they didn't like the way he acted.
Nick, what do you think? I mean, did Cleveland, although getting the star that can help them out now, because you look at what Cleveland did, Cleveland still got Chubb. They got Kareem Hunt, who, by the way, they announced today he's a
spit
eight games. Right. So he's half the season. He's gone. He'll come back. But, I mean, you got Baker Mayfield. You got Jarvis Landry. You got Nick Chubb. You got Kareem Hunt that's going to come. You've got a pretty good defense, if I'm not mistaken. The defensive line with Myles Garrett and these guys, they're still not going to be bad. You still have got Joku at tight end. You've got guys out there. Odell makes the immediate impact. Kyle's saying New York wins that trade. Obviously, in the long run, I think New York wins. Nick, what do you think? Do you think that By the way, just so you know, guys, in this podcast, we're kind of just going off the Richter right now because you haven't seen us in a long time. So we're people. We're humans. We got kids. We're, you know, we got significant others and stuff. So if you hear that in the background, you know, that's awesome because all what we're doing is bringing this to you, support our families. And we're supporting our families. So, you know, not everybody's perfect. Get over yourself. Nick, who wins that trade right now? If I say Cleveland or New York, winner of the deal, who wins?
Yeah, Nick, get off your high horse.
Yeah, absolutely. They both won the trade. I mean, Cleveland got the better of it, so I guess they won the trade, but they both got something out of it.
Okay. Hey, guys, listen. Nick, the question is, who wins the trade, New York or Cleveland? Go. Now, we're going to – see, I'm not even going to edit this.
On that fence with that horse.
So who wins?
Cleveland.
Thank you. That's all I want to know. I – honestly, feel this. I'm with Kyle. I'm gonna go with Kyle. I think New York wins the trade because Odell, don't get me wrong, they're going to impact that team now. And that team was very close to being a playoff contending team. You know, they made a good push towards the end. They shocked the system, they shocked everybody. As far as the whole NFL, everybody, by going with Baker Mayfield number one, they kind of lit a fire under everybody. It put him in, and he comes up and he does his thing. But I still think New York wins. Landon Collins went to Washington, like you said. They get Jabril Peppers. I think Jabril Peppers, although he's not as stout as Landon Collins, he's faster. I think he's going to be good. You know, Landon Collins goes and he does the Sean Taylor thing. Respect, rest in peace, Sean Taylor. Respect out to him. But that's what he did. I mean, he legitimately said way back in the gap before he got drafted, if there's one team he could play for, he said the Redskins because of Sean Taylor. He wears his number, so on and so forth. So anyways, I think New York wins this trade. Now, here's why I think that wins this trade. Well, I think they win the trade, but I feel like they messed up post-trade. Does that make sense? Because you went and go ahead and give Eli all this money, right? I mean, yeah. What do y'all take on that?
You know, I mean, the Giants continue. They got to make a move at quarterback. This sixth pick has to be at quarterback, does it not?
We'll get into the mock draft. I honestly think there's two quarterbacks they're looking at. They're looking at Kyler Murray and they're looking at Dwayne Haskins. Plain and simple. There's no doubt about it. 100% in my opinion, yes. I feel like they are going after either Dwayne Haskins, because he'll probably be available, rather Kyler Murray. If something happens, a fluke happens, and Kyler Murray is available, obviously they're going to take him. But, yes, I think they go quarterback first round. But why? I just don't understand the money. I don't understand the aspect. I don't understand the contract. I don't understand the whole Eli situation with his
money. I don't either. No one understands New York, the Giants, and the Eli situation. I can't understand. I'm baffled by it because they have stuck by him a little too long, and for obvious reasons, he's won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs. So, I mean, you get it, but, I mean, they have turned such a blind eye to Eli, and it's so obvious when you just turn on a Giants game and watch it. It's hard to watch, man. He takes him out of series. He is so past making a play for his team so he doesn't get hurt. Yeah. It's not even funny. Yeah. You know, Nick. These guys don't – he didn't want to get hurt, and these guys see it. So they don't want to play for me. I mean, he's a good guy, but when you see your quarterback do that, you're just like, okay.
Nick, Cleveland wins this.
Yeah, Cleveland won it. I feel like it's probably politics as far as why Eli continues to get what he gets and the treatment that he does, because there's plenty of good players, really good players, who have been treated like dog crap by their organizations, including the Giants. Tiki didn't have the best leaving with the Giants.
Yeah.
I don't know what Michael Strahan's relationship is like, but if Damsher wasn't like this, yeah,
Jason Pierre-Paul got kind of shat. I mean, he's still not a bad player with half his hand, you know? But, I mean, they basically were like, we don't want you. You screwed up. So, yeah, Coughlin, yeah, you're looking at it. You're right. So, OBJ's fit, Nick. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's perfect. I think
you think it's perfect.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. New coaching staff. Then you have a young backfield. And then you still get. And then the verdict came out on Kareem Hunt earlier this week. They gave him 8 games, right. So half the season, maybe the bye week, and he comes back and you get a fully healthy because he still gets to practice. He still gets to do what he does and he can keep his body right. And then he comes in without having. I mean, so there's some positives and some negatives to it, but. By then, nobody's going to be worried about it. They're just going to be excited about having him. He's still going to get drafted dump high in fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is, I agree with Nick as far as I think Odell is a perfect fit, though. I do think
he's with his homie. He's with his boyfriend.
I think New York wins. I think New York wins because they can rebuild and get their quarterback and get another playmaker or whatever. But I think the Odell and the Jarvis Landry combo is so dangerous. The reason why they work good together is because Jarvis is an underneath guy. Great hands, possession guy, ton of catches, limited touchdowns. Odell's the take the top off, or he could run a 7-yard route and beat you and just beat you across the field anyways. High touchdown, low catch guy. It's a perfect match. It's been a match made in heaven since LSU. They have the same receiving coach they had at LSU, now is at Cleveland. I mean,
here's the crazy thing.
Don't forget about the Black Panther.
This is different for Odell and Jarvis and for Baker Mayfield. I mean, not to mention, I agree that you then get a fresh running back halfway through the year. So then you get to – I mean, it is going to kind of be on Chubb a little bit because that's kind of how Kamara was last year when Ingram had to serve the 4 game. You kind of saw it later in the year that Kamara wasn't the same. Hopefully Chubb isn't like that.
I think they still have Duke Johnson, though, as well. They were backfield without Kareem Hunt.
I know that, but they had Carlos Hyde for a little while. Carlos Hyde was running well.
So here's what I'm getting at as far as the situation there. Like, you got to look at the nucleus. You get Baker. At worst case scenario, this team's going to be fun to watch. Worst case scenario, this to me offensively.
They'll be on prime time.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, and they've got two primetime games.
No, bro.
So hey. I think this is very like greatest show on turf type. This is Los Angeles Rams type from last year, the Chiefs. This is an electrifying offense. Their defense isn't bad. But you got a bunch of young studs out there. You got Odell and you got Jarvis. Both played at LSU. Played
and the
together.
League favored that play style.
Yep. You got their wide receiver coach is Coach Henry, who coached them at LSU.
Yeah. Throw the ball.
We saw this. We saw this last year. Odell wanting to come to Cleveland. I don't think it's a big of a surprise that Odell was in Cleveland. To be honest, I think it's more of a shock at the timing of the trade because it kind of fizzled and died down. But I still feel. Although Cleveland's going to be great, I still feel like the Giants have the opportunity to have won this deal. So we could talk a little bit more about it, but we're going to move on. We need to move on. Let's move on around the other things that took place in the NFL. Real quick, before we actually get onto another big ordeal, a big signing, the Titans went ahead and traded earlier today. They traded for Ryan Tannehill. They cut Gabbert because Gabbert's not the answer. The Titans with Mariota, right, and all this good stuff. The Titans – they trade for Tannehill. They get Tannehill. Tannehill's not sold. He's an A&M guy. I'm telling it right now. Absolutely dumbfounded when he was drafted as high as he was drafted because he only spent 1 year. The guy is one of the only ones. I mean, the dude had 1,000 receiving yards and passing yards, I believe, in the same year, pretty much, is what it felt like because the guy played receiver for the first 8-9 games of the season and came in and played quarterback when he was in college. He's got 1,000-yard receiving yard a year, and he's got 1,000-yard pass. I felt he wasn't a great – I mean, I don't know. Apparently, they're high on him. Titans went ahead and trade for him. Speaking of quarterbacks, previous quarterbacks, Gabbert was cut from the Titans. He used to play for the Jags. The Jags now kind of got rid of their guy, and they brought in somebody new, Nick Foles. Kyle, your Jags – and it's not really yours, but it's yours. And Nick, your Super Jags, because I know y'all are so into it. Give me the lowdown on the Nick Foles deal. Give me your opinions, your thoughts, the contract, the signing. How good is Nick? Is he a better fit than Bortles? Is he going to give you guys what you need to win?
All right, well, I'm gonna hit you with the good news and the bad news, all right? You always want the good news first. So the good news is he's not a top-paid quarterback. the contract he has looks big, but in all reality, he's not even a top five quarterback coming off a free agency where a Super Bowl MVP you would think would have a top five money, you know?
Right. What's the bad news?
The bad news is, and the other good news is, he's a better fit than Blake Bortles. He is a better fit than Blake Bortles. Okay. The bad news is he's still not good enough. Yeah, I think he's still
– Okay, hold on.
To me, he's a bridge guy that they're paying more than a bridge guy money. Right, so
hold the thought. Hold that thought. He's not top pay, Nick, okay? He's not top pay. But he's a good fit, but he's not good enough. Nick, talk to me, man. We talked earlier today, dude. Tell me how you feel about Nick Foles, because I think this is going to be good. You want the pot to be stirred, the shit to start. Nick, give me your opinion on Nick. Is he going to be on your couch next to Baker? How high is Nick Foles on Nick's radar? Go.
Man, that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
No.
I mean, look.
Oh my God! Go ahead. That is your quarterback. Give me that lowdown. Listen,
ultimately, what it boils down to is this: I don't think he's the answer. I hope that he can be, because that's my franchise, and I want to see them succeed. I think that I agree with Kyle in the sense that he's not one of the highest paid quarterbacks by no means. If the deal works out to be worth what it's worth at the maximum, he'd only be making $22 million a year.
Yeah.
A little bit more than 50 guaranteed, I believe. And that's really low for a quarterback. Extremely low. Extremely low for a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I wish I had the Flacco deal right in front of me just so I can compare it, because I'm curious to know what he made, because that's another Super Bowl winning.
That whole Flacco thing, I don't mean to cut you off, dude, but what is going on with Denver? Because
they got to figure out a QB situation.
Dude,
they're not
they really screwed up last enough. Year.
They're not screwed really up last enough year, to get who
right?
they want.
Am I right? They made a mistake last year. I had a lot of guys that are Denver fans that did not like that fit. You know what I'm saying? Denver, it just didn't fit in Denver. I don't know how well
afraid with Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is similar to Case Keenum, like a flash in the pan. Like, he had a good season with a good team in a hype situation, and he did it again last year in the right situation.
Okay,
but it was that same situation, a team that believed in him, and he had to do it without really the. There was no real pressure on him, because the first year there wasn't an expectation to do it. He's going to come to Jacksonville where everyone's going to expect him to do it. And he's not the kind of guy who's going to go out there and carry this team. He just has to be a guy who can stop them from stacking the box. And that's it.
Yep. And that's the thing. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm looking for, because I just don't understand it. Case Keenum wasn't that great. I mean, he was a good quarterback, but he had that run. And he got all that attention. And Denver's like, oh, let me throw this money in his face. Same thing, in my opinion, with Nick Foles. Yes, Nick Foles went 1 year with Philadelphia when he had 2 interceptions, like 27-2. He had a very efficient year, but he didn't win nothing. And then all of a sudden, Carson Wentz goes down in like week 15, 14. He comes in and just leads them to the Super Bowl. And then what? And it happens again the next year, and he doesn't do it. I mean, how?
No, but he won a playoff game again in the next year. And
he didn't actually win that playoff game. Your Bears lost that game. That kicker, whatever.
Well, no, Foles even played well against the Saints. But here's the thing. The Jags don't have the weapons the Eagles had. You got me? So, and actually, I have Flacco's his contract here. They actually didn't restructure. It's the remaining contract from the Ravens. It says the 34-year-old quarterback has 3 years remaining on his deal. 2019, his cap hit will be $18.5 million. 2020, he's sitting at $20 million, and then it bumps up to $24 million in 2021. So it looks like, unless Flacco makes a run this year and next year, I don't think they honor that 2021 contract. I think that $24 million for an old quarterback who John Elway seems to think is in his prime. I don't know if y'all heard that comment, but that, I mean, I'm not too sure about. You know, that's a lot of money for Joe Flacco. And in all honesty, is Denver there? I don't mean to to kind of steer the conversation, but is Denver there to let Flacco take the reins and think that they're going to make an AFC championship run?
Okay, but let me ask you a question, okay? And be honest. I understand that you got Lindsay in the backfield, but give me the star running back for Denver right now. I know it's Lindsay, but who's the big name? Yeah, Lindsay did great, right? But is he the guy to carry him? No. Okay. Who's their receiver? Who's their star receiver?
Emmanuel Sanders. That's it.
Okay, how old is Emmanuel? I mean, what last year did he show out and get?
Oh no, I'm not.
I know. I'm just saying. Who do you have on that offense to help out?
You have a Raider hater here who's just hoping the Broncos.
It's not even about the freaking Raider haters or whatever the Raider lover, the Bronco hater is what it is. It's not a Raider hater. You could say, but I'm being honest, bro.
He's a hating ass Raider, bitch.
I'm being honest though, bro. Tell me.
Yeah, I mean that's my point.
They have nobody. Flacco had nobody last year. Flacco had nobody last year in Baltimore, did he? No, he got benched for a rookie who can't throw past 7 yards. It's the facts. And then you're going to bring him to Denver, who has absolutely nothing as well. I think that the Broncos organization, John Elway is. If I'm John Elway, I'm punching myself in the dick right now, over and over again, because what moves are you making?
Bad ones.
Dude, honestly, you want to give Case Keenum all that money last year for what? To go there and hope on a prayer and win 4 or 5 games? Wait, hold on. Good job. Great job. Who cares? And then this year you bring Flacco in, right? Flacco for what? Bring Joe Flacco in. It's the same old story over and over again in these last 2 years with Denver. If I'm a Broncos fan, I'm not. They suck. Boom. I'm mad. I'm furious because I really feel like this team has no direction. I'm not even a Broncos fan, and I'm mad for the fans themselves because I really feel like they have no direction on what they're doing. They haven't gone and did anything. They're kind of like the Cowboys in the offseason. What have they done besides bringing back Jason Witten because he sucks so bad in the booth?
Listen, yeah, I don't know what the Cowboys are doing at all. That move alone, just why wouldn't you get a tight end in the draft? Like,
I mean, literally, the number 5 ranked prospect in the draft is a tight end. The overall number 5 ranked prospect in the draft, TJ Hockenson. And just so you know, they're projecting him to go like 18. They got another tight end looking to go. They're both from Iowa, first of all. So how do you have two tight ends in the top 20 and they're both from the same school?
I don't know. I don't trust it. I feel like that's like the New England Patriots sending out bait, like saying these guys are good. We're looking at them and everyone.
You know, it was great. Gronkowski and Hernandez, screw it. Whatever. I'm done talking about Denver. They're idiots. Done talking about the Cowboys.
I don't remember it, but there was the same year. I don't remember their names, but it was the same year. It was like in the 2010s, late 2008s. But Missouri had 2 All-American tight ends on the team.
That's incredible. Who were those tight ends? Tell me if you know their name. Go ahead. Since they're so All-American, tell me. Go.
I don't, but I'll find it.
Exactly. You can find it. You're going to have to find it. But if they're that damn good, you're going to know who they are.
Yeah, maybe.
Whatever.
Their names are probably recognizable.
Whatever. We've talked about that enough. Let's go. Le'Veon Bell dropped that fire mixtape. Who heard the mixtape? Did anybody hear the mixtape?
No, didn't listen to it.
Yeah, don't waste your time. From what I hear, the only people that are supporting him are the athletes that are close to him and that know him as a friend. From what I hear, all the people that I've seen on Twitter and everywhere else, they're kind of calling it pretty much dumpster fire. But he signs a deal with the New York Jets. So the big deal about Le'Veon Bell is Le'Veon Bell wanted $70 million contract. Am I right, Kyle? Is what he wanted, $70 million? From Pittsburgh. He sat out a year, right?
Yeah.
He wanted that guaranteed money and that $70 million deal. He ends up signing for $52 million. 4 years, $52 million. Everybody's giving him shit. Oh, man, you wanted the money. You didn't chase the money. And then you go to the Jets for that money. Well, he got the guaranteed money, $33 million guaranteed. So he got the guaranteed money that he wanted. But I'm going to take a page out of another podcast or another thing, a little who wins, who losses. We did that, but a little buy or sell. Buy or sell so to speak. Buy or sell? Like, are you okay with the Le'Veon move to the Jets? Or give me a better fit for Le'Veon if he's not a good fit in the Jets. Go, Kyle.
Well, this isn't about the Jets. This is about Le'Veon. And Le'Veon, I don't believe it, dropping a mixtape and all this. He wants to go to a big market. So Le'Veon doesn't want to go to a team that's going to fit good or win. He wants the guaranteed money. And in all honesty, he left, they say, 14 mil on the table, but
he wants to be famous.
He left 14 mil, but he didn't leave guaranteed 14 mil. Exactly. He actually got more guaranteed money in New York.
That's my point. So, I mean, all these people saying that he got duped for the money, he really didn't, because he got his on the back end. And guess what? He's going to make that in tenfold in New York. Because no matter if the team like Odell, if your fans like him, if your organization likes him, if the public likes him, or if just in general media, right. if the media is going to eat him up and he's doing mixtapes and stuff like that, then he's going to thrive in New York.
Right.
Whether good or bad, whether his headlines are good or bad, he's going
to
thrive.
So you're buying the move to New York for Le'Veon. You're good
for Le'Veon, not for the Jets, for Le'Veon.
So you don't think it's good for the Jets?
I mean, I believe it's going to be, he's a good running back, but I don't think it's going to equate into two more wins every year.
So, Nick, as far as the Jets are concerned, and Le'Veon Bell, is Le'Veon Bell the single piece? Is he the piece that's the solution for this team with old Uncle Sam at quarterback? Robbie Anderson is going to be your top receiver.
For now. They'll address that, I'm sure.
Okay, like,
it wasn't a whole lot in free agency. Like, it's been trades. It's been – there's nobody out there who's, like, sexy. It was all –
sure.
All the moves were trades and players that just being divas, being what receivers have always been throughout the NFL, living up to their true nature.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But Le'Veon will for sure be bet at least good for two more wins than the Jets had last year. They'll have two more wins than they had last year. You can book it.
I mean, how many did they have this year? Was it two or three?
I don't care if they had four. Six. They'd still have – they'd get eight thanks to Le'Veon.
They had four wins. They went 4-12.
Okay. Oh, yeah, hey, y'all are listening to it. If they don't get six wins, what do? They don't get six wins next year. What happens to Nick? Kyle?
I don't know, because you could put them on the couch.
Not on the couch. I'm talking something serious over here. Nick is basically locking two extra wins because of Le'Veon Bell. Am I right, Nick?
I'm saying they'll get two extra wins if Le'Veon Bell doesn't even play there. The Jets are a good enough team, and I think they're on the upswing. I think Sam Darnold's good enough.
Okay.
That he'll continue to get better and grow.
And like I said,
believe the Jets will have more than five wins.
So you think, okay, so the Jets has six wins at least.
Yes.
What if they don't have six wins? You going to shave that beard?
Nah, I like my beard.
Okay, so you're not confident in your pick, is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, I have the 2019 New York Jets schedule up right here. If this is right, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't have it in order, but I have who they play. They play Buffalo twice, obviously.
Well, they're going to play Buffalo, Miami, New England twice.
Yeah,
That'll give them two wins.
And then they
maybe three. Go ahead.
They play Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. So it looks like they play the AFC North with Baltimore. Then they have the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. Yeah, then they have the NFC East with the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Redskins. And they have Oakland, and then they have Jacksonville. So y'all tell me.
So they're going to thrash Oakland.
So that's perfect. That worked out perfect. I just looked this up. But so realistically, they split with Buffalo. They split with Miami.
Yeah,
I give them a win against Cincinnati.
I give them a win against Cincinnati.
Next year's the year the Patriots are on the downswing. Sweeping the Patriots.
I give them five wins. I don't see if they're
going to get six. I could find five wins here, and I mean, I guess Nick could find seven if he pushes the envelope a little bit. But I mean, the Giants, have met four wins, and then it's a toss-up.
Let's let the draft go, guys. So we know we're going to do projections. We're going to do like we did last year when we started off. We're going to project the winners of the division. We're going to actually have them. We're going to write them down, and we're going to have them displayed or whatever, so that way everybody could see it, and it'll be up for what we pick.
Also need to have record predictions as well, because I know our record predictions were off last year. So
oh yeah,
shit we're spewing off right now.
Yeah. We're going to have it. Don't worry. Last one. Let's move to it. AB to Oakland. Any thoughts?
I think Oakland's a bad team, and they're not going to be good no matter who plays for them.
And that's spoken from the mind of a true hater, but go ahead. Kyle, what do you think? I mean, okay. So
I want to
I'll tell you like this. Oakland, John Gruden, and the whole management team got absolutely destroyed in the media last year for getting rid of Mac and Cooper.
Deservedly so.
Absolutely deservedly so for Khalil Mack. Cooper, whatever. He won't shine. He won't.
He did shine. Are you kidding me? He had the 3-touchdown game.
Congratulations.
He took over a complete drop. I'm trying to take away from what this man does. He's a good player.
He's not going to give it to you. Okay. All I'm saying is the Oakland Raiders got a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Gave up a 3rd and 5th for the number one receiver over the last, 6 years? Look at the stats over the last 6 years. Antonio Brown basically leads every stat that needs to know. He has a 0.6 drop percentage. Amari Cooper's like 26.
Yeah, first of all, he definitely drops balls. Well, I'm not comparing Antonio. You didn't trade.
You didn't trade
Amari Cooper for Antonio Brown.
But I'm not sitting here saying you did. But in theory, yes, you did. You didn't use the same teams, but in theory, that's exactly what you did, dude.
You played 8 or 9 games without Antonio Brown. So this is a different season. This is a different team. You're going into it with a different team. But the Antonio Brown and Amari Cooper, you can make comparisons. There's always going to be comparisons, no doubt. I'm not going to take away from that.
Okay, but, so you're telling me right now Cooper's better than Antonio Brown? Because that's a comparison.
And I'm saying that's not even the argument that's here. Like, I don't think Amari Cooper's a top 8 pick. But you just said, I mean, I don't think he's probably like the number 8 or 9 receiver in the league, in my opinion.
But that, okay, so if he's 8 or 9 in the league,
and Antonio Brown's in that discussion for the 4 that you can basically interchange for the best in the league at any given time.
All I'm saying is John Gruden and the management in Oakland got thrashed last year. I think the Khalil Mack thing was stupid, and the thing that made it worse, what made it worse, in my opinion, was the whole 2 weeks later, Gruden's like, man, if we can just find a pass rush. just keep your mouth shut. Don't say that because that's going to make it even worse. But it's true. The Raiders were pretty much dead last in the league in sacks and pressures on the quarterback. They're obviously going to address that in the draft, I'm thinking. But I'm just saying, during this offseason, Oakland has made some really smart moves to counteract. And in my opinion, obviously, it all falls on the draft. If Oakland has a really good defensive draft, I don't think those moves were that bad. They have 4 picks in the top 35. That's a lot.
It is a lot of picks. You can get a lot of good players or package them and get great players.
All I'm saying is last year it looked like total shit. Even as a fan, I'm like, golly, dude. I mean, I caught shit all year. Oh, well, just trade your best 2 players. Derek Carr ain't the answer. And Derek Carr may not be the answer. You know my opinion on Derek Carr. I love Derek Carr, but he's very inconsistent. I said that. I'm on record. Go back and listen. He's an inconsistent quarterback.
And you're an inconsistent fan.
How?
Because you some days you love Derek Carr, and other days you hate him.
Dude.
Either way, that goes for many fans. But the question isn't if Oakland is going to draft well, because they just picked up Mike Mayock, okay? So Oakland is going to draft extremely well with a ton of picks in the first round. So the questions are, who's your run game? Is Marshawn coming back? Are y'all drafting a running back? I mean,
I hear we're drafting.
Is there a running back you have to draft in the first round?
Josh Jacobs wasn't even number one in college. He wasn't even the number one back.
Different argument. Either way, the main argument, the main point here is Oakland where's their offense going to come from? They were 23rd in the league last year. They were 18th in the pass, and I think 25th in the run.
We just got rid of Jordy Nelson, too, by the way.
So exactly. So,
but we did pick up Tyrell Williams.
The big questions are, can Gruden get it done? That's the biggest question. Is your running back coming back? Who knows? You could draft well because you got Mayock. I believe so. I don't know if you guys have faith in Mike Mayock, but the guy's truth and knowledge. The guy's probably forgotten more football and talent that he's seen than we'll ever see or know. And I think the Raiders, that was their best move other than getting all those picks. That was their – I think getting Mike Mayock was a bigger pickup than getting John Gruden.
Oh, so, absolutely. Well, okay, time out. Just to clarify, financially, yes. I think John Gruden's a good pick, but I think we paid – entirely too much for John Gruden.
Exactly, but I think just as far as what their merit's going to be at the end of all of this and what they have proven that they've done, I think you're going to look back and be like, yeah, Mike Mayock had a lot of good picks.
Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, like I said, they have four in the top 35. He's going to smash two out the park. He's going to knock two out the park.
Absolutely.
I'm asking for doubles on the other two. That's all. As a fan, as someone that's looking at the organization, and look, all BS aside, all actual bias aside, I mean, Oakland is at one point in time, Oakland was an organization that you wanted to be a fan of and that you respected going into any game. You didn't want to go up against Oakland or the Raiders because, I mean, they were who most teams wanted to be
Not too much in my lifetime.
Well, I mean, you know,
Just the run where they played the Buccaneers.
I understand, but I'm saying in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and even in the early 2000s, Oakland was something, the Raiders were something to be reckoned with.
I remember back in my day.
And I think with the signing of Trent Brown, I think that with Mayock coming on board with Gruden, if he can have a little freedom with what he can do with these players, I think Oakland's going to get back to that stage. Do I think it's this year? No, I really don't. If Oakland gets 9 wins this year, I'll be surprised. Now, I know they won't. I don't think they'll finish last in the West. That'll belong to Denver. I really honestly feel like they're going to give San Diego or whatever they are now, Los Angeles, the Chargers are run for their money for the number two in the West. I really do. I just feel like Chargers do this a lot. They have one or two really good years, and then they're just done. It's with the same quarterback, usually with the same receivers, the same running back, the same everything. I just don't know how sustainable they are. As far as the trade, I think Oakland wins hands down because they gave up a 3rd and a 5th pick for Antonio Brown, which is what we were talking about, Nick. Who gave up a 3rd and 5th pick for what?
Yeah, the Jags got
the Jags.
They got a 3rd and a 5th in return.
They got a 3rd and a 5th for Dante Fowler.
So why not just give up that 3rd and a 5th for Antonio Brown? I just don't think that the market gets tested enough by teams. Like, I think that teams just assume they're not able to get a player, so they just don't even try, and it's just annoying.
That's a really good point, though.
They don't have the money for Antonio Brown.
It's not even the money. I think
– yes.
No, but do you cut some other guys? Yeah, are you willing to cut Marquise Lee and cut some other contracts in return to make room for him? I think he opens up some other options. You have Antonio Brown.
If you're smart, Nick, what you do is the year before you trade away two really good players for first round picks and save that money, and then you can
get traded. Yeah, but you have to know you're going to be bad. Like you already knew you were going to be.
I mean, it's the Jags. Who really thinks they're going to be worth a shit? I don't. Think
everybody did last year. They were a pick by a lot of teams going into last year. So last year, yeah, you would have had a different mindset. And then they jagged us again. So now everybody's back on that like, oh, they tricked us. So now nobody will be picking the Jags again.
I mean, dude, y'all got in the playoffs last year. So that's a win for you guys. Once every 6 years, 7 years is good.
This point, the year before.
Yeah. Well, true. So. Yeah. All right. So that's it. Let's move on. Let's do a little mock draft. Let's do the first. We'll do 7 since it's the Jaguars at 7. First 7 picks. Nick, go ahead. Arizona, who do you got? Who's Arizona picking? Oh.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. San Francisco, who do they pick?
Robbie Russo.
Give me your picks.
Nick, who you got? Did we lose him?
I don't know. Did we lose him?
Quinnen Williams.
So you okay? So Kyler Murray and Quinnen
Williams. I thought I was talking the whole time. I must have had my microphone on mute. Did you get my number one pick?
Who's your number one?
Oh man! Oh, I had a whole spiel.
Oh God!
I definitely think they go Nick Bosa. I think he's the for sure thing. I think there's a couple of guys that you can't miss on this year, and he's one of them.
What about his injury issues? He's very injury prone. He's like his other Bosa. Joey Bosa.
I think football is a violent sport, and a lot of different things can happen that cause injuries, and injuries will continue to happen, but we don't know what the injuries exactly they were. It could have been players falling on him, stuff like that. So as long as he takes care of things, and I mean, I think he's worth the risk at number one.
Okay. So number one, Nick Bosa. Number two, you said Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, I think the 49ers can go a lot of different ways. I think they have a lot of needs, but they're getting better. They're certainly getting better.
Yeah, they're making some traction.
The reason I don't want to say defensive line is because they've gone defensive line and nobody wants the 49ers to go defensive line again. I get it, but the guy's a beast. The guy's getting compared to Aaron Donald. And they play in that division. They have to play
just
Aaron
a second.
Donald. So if you can get a guy like that.
Right. We're going to do this. We're changing the format. Kyle, who do you have at number one? Sorry, I'm going to just make it like this. Go, Kyle, who do you got?
I got Kyler. I got Kyler Murray because just circumstance. I think they trade away Rosen,
I'm just not high on that storyline. I don't believe that storyline, bro.
And Nick, I'm with you. I don't think they go. Here's the deal. The only way they go Kyler Murray, in my opinion, is if they trade draft day, if they trade Rosen. I don't think Rosen's a bad quarterback. I actually think they pick Quinnen Williams first, though. They're in the same division. So. As you know what I'm saying? Like, they're in the division. They're there. I think Quinnen Williams is the number one overall pick. The kid's young. The kid's good. And, golly, he's got a massive upside.
I think he's
got the most upside in the entire draft. Honestly. So, number two, you got Quinnen Williams. I actually have Nick Bosa there at number two. Kyle, who do you have at number two?
Yeah, see, I kind of felt the same way where – With the D-line, the whole D-line action. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Nick Bosa is not going to fall outside the top three, and I don't think the Niners are going to allow it either. I think the Niners think they're good enough on offense. And I honestly think the Niners might trade back. You could bookmark that. So I think the Niners might trade back. But either way, if not, they go for Ed Oliver, Quinn Williams, Bosa, D-line guy. They need cornerbacks bad, but I don't see them going that high and getting greedy, even though greedy tested out through the roofs. I honestly see Nick Bosa because he would be the top prospect edge rusher. His brother's already done it. He's proven because of his brother, kind of like the Mannings. So, I don't see Nick Bosa going past three, even with the Jets. You know,
Now firepower. Now we're at number three, the Jets. Nick, who do you have at number three? You went off the board. You got Bosa, then Quinnen. Now, who do you have?
I got a lot of different opinions with the Jets. I think they want to continue. I think this is a reach here, but I think everybody seems to think Juwan Taylor is the best offensive lineman on the board, and I think that the Jets want to continue trying to build. And they just got Le'Veon.
That's it. You just got Le'Veon. You got a quarterback in Sam Darnold who has zero mobility.
I think they end up reaching on Juwan Taylor and getting – or just in general taking offensive lineman. Whoever their best offensive lineman is, that's where they're going to go.
Kyle, who do you have?
It's so hard to say because we don't know every team's need. So that's the hardest part.
Well, here's the thing. You got to look at what they have. The Jets need somebody on the offensive line. They need somebody on the defensive line.
Does their front office feel that way? Does their front office feel
like but here's the deal, though, in my opinion. When you've got these top picks and you're very defensive heavy, you're very stacked in a lot of positions as far as this draft is very defensive minded. There's a lot of studs on defense that you could pick. So you've got play. I mean, I really think if it comes down to it, I think the Jets trade down. I think the Jets at three, if the board is like I say it was, which was Quinnen and Nick, I think the Jets trade down. I think the Jets trade down to like six. New York trades up. this is mine, and gets Kyler Murray at six. I mean, at three, excuse me. But once again, you also look at it. I actually think another guy that could be traded up in there, crazy. I know it's crazy, but I think Miami. I think Miami may come up to three to jump the Jets. I mean, the Giants, excuse me. Because the quarterback need maybe could be Tampa Bay. That is the only need, in my opinion, above the Giants.
And I don't think they're going. I think they got Bruce Arians, and he'll try to see what he can do with Jameis.
I don't think they're going to go. That's the only team that I can foresee throwing it into a quarterback.
Well, you stole me. That's what I was thinking. I thought they were going to trade up at four, though. I thought they'd try to get in there at four. Because they did just
Miami?
The Dolphins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very, in my opinion, a 3-4. If Kyler Murray does not go first, in my opinion, 3 and 4 is up for toss. I really think so. And I think Miami or the Giants, depending on the gauging of Tampa Bay, I don't know. Like, I really don't feel like that is going to happen, but I'm with you, but if I'm going to retract just because we're doing the purpose of the draft. So anyways, number three, I'm going to go with the Jets. I think they take Rashawn Gary. This is without trades, by the way. I'm going back. I know I spewed whatever what I thought, which we'll do a complete mock draft and post it online for you guys, by the way. All three of us will do the first. I don't know if we'll do the first round or the first 15 picks, but we'll probably do the first round. We'll do our own mock draft, and we'll post it on the Facebook. So make sure you're following. But number three, no drafts. Wash it. I think they go Rashawn Gary, number three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm not opposed to that.
Number four, the Raiders. Now, they need defensive help. Rashawn Gary was their pick. Quinnen Williams is their pick. Nick Bosa is their pick. My question to you, since I'm not consistent, number four pick, the Oakland Raiders select Kyler Murray.
Devin White. They don't let him get past them.
Kyle?
I think they take Greedy Williams.
At four?
Yeah.
You just said how – didn't you just say how San Francisco needed him, but they weren't going to reach? Oh, but it's the Raiders. We always reach. Don't worry about it. You're right. Sorry.
No, I said they weren't going to take a corner at two, but you could take a corner at four. And, yeah, with the speed and size, doesn't that sound like a Raider pick?
That sounds like an Al Davis pick, but he's
dead. Whose son's running the show?
Have you seen his haircut? I don't trust him at all. Bad haircut. At all. He has one of the worst. Other than Mike Gundy. Him and Mike Gundy.
That's a prerequisite for President of the United States.
Gundy's got the piece. Whatever your boys got up top at the front office is not working. I guarantee you he pays over triple digits for that haircut, too.
He probably does. Number five, Tampa Bay Bucks. Who do you got? Nick.
Montez Sweat.
Kyle.
They're assholes like every other team in the AFC South, and they're going to pick the NFC South, and they pick LSU linebackers. They're going to pick Devin White. The Falcons have two. The Buccaneers had two and got rid of and Quan Alexander left. They have Beckwith still. Why not bring in Devin White?
Number five off the board. I think they pick Josh Allen. So number six, Giants. We're almost done. Two picks, guys. Kyle, who you got at number six? This is a no-brainer.
Kyler Murray.
Okay, there you go.
Yep. It's a
no-brainer.
I'm Kyler Murray,
and you got no-brainer. I got him picked Kyler Murray already, so Dwayne Haskins, quarterback, the Ohio State. Number seven pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the last one in our little fun and gun BS. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. This is tough, but I mean, the Jaguars – y'all know what they need, right? For the most part. I honestly, I know this is going to sound absolutely atrocious. I think they go DK Metcalf at seven. I think they reach just a hair for an absolute stud at wideout, DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I think they're
going to. It's a very Jaguar pick, in my
opinion. I think the most Jaguar thing that they can do, and the Jaguar thing that they.
Please say tight.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go.
Are they going to go Fant or are they going to go Hawkerson?
Hawkinson, but okay, but they're not going to do that. I don't, because the draft isn't going to play out the way we're talking. I think that there's right. going to, because the Jags will probably end up going pass rusher, because with the way we're going, there's a lot of good pass rushers on the board, and they're not going to let, like, I haven't said Josh Allen yet, and he ain't getting past the Jags.
You haven't said Josh Allen or Rashawn Gary yet, so
Or you haven't said Ed Oliver or Montez Sweat, so
I did say Montez Sweat. He was my he went to the
he went to Tampa Bay.
Okay, well, I haven't said Montez Sweat either.
So you're saying sorry Nick, you're basically saying you're looking at probably either Josh Allen or Ed Oliver, roughly.
I'm looking at Josh Allen. I think
Josh Allen. There you go.
I think he fits what the Jags are trying to do. You put him on the other side of Ngakoue, and that does get pretty scary.
Cool. Kyle, who you got? We're gonna wrap the draft up.
I'm right with you. I think they jag out one way or another by getting DK Metcalf, or they go get Montez Sweat. I think both are going to be decent players. They seem to be on the SEC kick as of the last few years.
And most people should be because it's – I mean, they make the studs. So.
I agree. And almost in every sport, the big three sports, SEC pretty much almost runs the show as far as that goes. But
that's where all the money is. We got the money in the South. Don't let it fool you.
I think
– all right. So
I think they go Montez Sweat, DK Metcalf. With getting the quarterback, it's easy to say DK Metcalf, but then you lose Dante Fowler. You lose Malik Jackson. You kind of need somebody. It wouldn't surprise me if they go Ed Oliver, Montez Sweat, because Josh Allen's more of a lot.
He's a Fowler type guy. You know, he's more of a stand up guy. But I got you. All right, so that's it. That's it for the football. Let's move real quick. We're only going to touch on it for a couple minutes. Let's move NBA. We're going to move NBA. We won't even hit basketball. We're not going to have time to hit college basketball. We'll save that for next week, which we'll bring you next week, a day earlier than what we're bringing you this one. NBA, the Bucks have wrapped up. The Raptors have wrapped up playoff berths in the East. The Warriors are 1, Nuggets 2, Rockets 3, and Trailblazers 4. They're all pretty close. Basically, 3 to 8, in my opinion, is within 3.5-4 games of each other. So it's pretty close. The biggest surprise is Nick's couch sitting buddy. Am I right, Nick? Talk to me. Tell me about your couch sitting buddy.
Well, I have a lot of friends of mine, but
listen. But your couch sitting buddy.
Listen, I'm a fan of LeBron James, but I also am on the record. I did not watch one Lakers game this year. I hate the Lakers so much that my hate for the Lakers outweigh my love for LeBron James. So therefore,
here's the question.
Being the 11th seed in the West is just icing on the cake. It's like, man, I told you made a bad decision, LeBron. You should have called me.
That's what I'm asking. So do you think all BS about decisions on where he should have gone? Do you think, and this will be the last segment, and then we're going to shut it down. Do you think LeBron James should have stayed in the East? Yes or no?
No, I think because if he went to the Rockets, he'd be in the third seed or the first seed. You know what I'm saying? So,
you think he should have stayed in the East?
No. Okay. No, because he really had no help against what is now Milwaukee and
it got boring. Like he's a champion. He's a great player. He wants to continue getting better and do things. So
I agree with you. But he should have gone elsewhere. Houston was a good option.
The other LA team.
The other LA is going to make the playoffs, it looks like. They're basically
six games up on the 9 seed.
He's doing well. You got Toronto. Who's he going to have to match up? The top two teams in the East that he's going to have to match up with. He's going to have to match up with Giannis. He's going to have to match up with Kawhi. And then Boston is a whole other type of talent anywhere in the East pretty much doesn't where anywhere in the East that he would have went, it still wouldn't have trumped the talent that Boston has. And then you got Philly who's got a 7-footer. By all means, the big man game in the NBA is done. It's gone. It's been gone for a while. Having Joel Embiid, he dominated games. So it stay in the East. No, I think kind of like Le'Veon, like I said earlier, he kind of does himself a service by going to the bigger market, doing his own thing, and hopefully bringing more guys in. But I don't think Le'Veon's bringing more guys in. But I think he is building a team. I think he's got something going. And I mean, honestly, but if he wouldn't have got hurt, they probably make the playoffs. If they don't go for the trade with Anthony Davis, they make the playoffs. The Pelicans fell apart. The Lakers fell apart.
Okay, so you're saying they should have made the trade for Anthony Davis. Both teams
fell apart.
I think they should have made the trade.
Yeah, they should have made the trade because both teams are worse after, and the NBA is forcing the Pelicans to play Anthony Davis and honestly maybe even cost themselves their biggest asset of going forward. What if Anthony Davis, I don't know, breaks a foot?
Now they can't get anything for him. He has to sit out until and then heal a whole nother season where they get nothing out of him.
Don't get me started on the state of Louisiana being shafted again and again.
Listen, before Kyle goes off on a tangent, we want to thank y'all for tuning in to this episode.
South Louisiana has been
Kyle's not going to do it. Listen, it's not going to happen. Shush.
Get on my couch. I've got a whole couch. We got this whole
episode. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Small Office with Russo, and Peretti. You know what we do. We're going to be back next week for more of The Small Office. We'll let Kyle – look, we're going to start – look, Kyle, here's the deal. We're going to start next week's segment with you on the couch or with your couch segment, whatever. We'll let you start next week. We're going to give you the floor for like 3 or 4 minutes, and I'm going to let you sing your heart out on your hate.
Explain.
Yeah, I know. You're going to get it next week. I'll give you your time. You'll explain next week. I promise you. I'll let you sit over here and shred everybody and every organization, whoever, that wants to hate against Louisiana team sports, as you claim. It all started with the Saints getting screwed, right? We'll start there. We'll let you go to LSU because our coach is an idiot. We're not going to worry about that. And in LSU baseball, so don't worry about them.
It started with Sean Payton.
Well, guess where?
White.
Yeah.
It started with Texas A&M.
Uh-huh.
It started with paying players to hurt other players.
That's what I'm thinking. Guys, thank y'all for tuning in so much. We appreciate you. The music's rolling. We're out. The Slob will be back next week. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Check us out. Thank you so much, and have a great week.